A little unconventional, but I would like to start with a song rather than straight into our Bible class. And the song is number one. Number one. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of this song. There's some important words in this song, I think. To save time, we won't sing all 5 verses, just 1, 2, and 4. If you have it, we'll sing now. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. This evening, sun. Oh, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun, to be a child of God each day. My life must shine. Some troubled soul, this evening, sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. Someone in time of need, and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick and poor and weak, and words of kindness to them speak. This evening, sun. Sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. All right. I felt like that song fit into our Bible class this morning because we're going to be talking about a Christian's influence within the congregation, but a Christian's influence should be lived outside of the congregation as well. And this song kind of depicts what a Christian should be doing in public within their with to others. And I read a little bit about this author, and I don't know if it's 100% true because it came from Wikipedia, and there's some, you know, people can put what they want on Wikipedia, but a lot of times we have found that Wikipedia has been more accurate than encyclopedia just because the right people are writing it rather than the wrong people. But anyways, the man who wrote that song wrote most of the songs in prison. He was incarcerated, so this was a man who saw some rough times and still wanted to do what was right. So just a nifty little tidbit there. True or false? No matter who we are, somebody is watching us, scrutinizing us, and being influenced thereby. True or false?
True.
I remember as a kid, I had an older brother. And I would watch him and see everything that he did. And then I'd go try to do it and I'd break myself. Because he was older. He was able to do those things. Look, I didn't really break because I was flexible back then and made of rubber seem like. But, you know, there were things that I'd try to do when no one was watching because I saw my brother do them. A lot of us remember those memories, but we don't have memories of someone remembering us and trying to do the things that we're doing, right? Because that's their memories. But if it's true for us, it's probably true for them. If we're remembering and we're trying to mimic people that are older than us that we see influential in our lives, then it's true for somebody else. And we need to remember that as Christians, because we never know who is looking for Jesus in our lives. We don't know who may be watching our motions and knowing that we attend the Church of Christ, knowing that we worship with the saints on Sunday morning. We don't know who's watching us, trying to discover if that's what they need to do or not. So, in the local congregation, let's focus back in, not so broad, but let's focus in the congregation. We're trying to develop influences in our lives that help strengthen the church. And that's what I've been tasked to do. In this little outline that I was given, there are characteristics of a Christian that exert good influence in the local congregation. We're going to go through some of those. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to begin in verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The proper influence as a Christian that we need to have in the congregation is one that is totally committed to Christ. Totally committed. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. This is Jesus speaking. If you have the red type in your Bible, this whole page is probably full of red type like mine is. But it says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." These two passages that we just read, you cannot straddle the fence with Christianity. You cannot have one leg in the world and one leg in the church. If you're not with him, you're against him. Every Christian ought to be committed to the task of living for Christ with every atom of their being. That's the difficult part. Because how often do we get to spend in this church building amongst other Christians? Well, it's very limited compared to the amount of time we spend in a different building with our co-workers. And so it's hard to not let them influence us, but rather us influence them. Well, let's bring it back in. Remember, we're talking about the congregation. We don't need to allow outside influences into the congregation that are worldly. The only influences we need in the church are Christian influences. So that's what we're trying to be. That's the point of this class here, is to examine ourselves to make sure that we're going to be the proper influences. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, we cannot serve two masters, right? Why is that? Hate the one and love the other. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, if you're taking notes. However, some church members try to give up the world like a boy cutting off his dog's tail one inch at a time. How successful do you think that's going to be? That dog's going to bite that kid so quick. We can't do that in the church. When we obey the gospel, we are turning away from the world. Why do you think it is that repentance is before baptism? Why do you think that is? Because if you're not prepared to turn around from the world, then you have no reason getting in that water yet. Everything in the Bible makes sense. It's very, very simple. It's a simple plan. That's why repentance comes before baptism. Because if you're not able to turn from the world, there's no point getting the water yet. Let's turn from the world first and then get in the water. Another characteristic or influential characteristic we need to have as a Christian in the congregation is one that is deeply spiritual. Why do you think that is? Could it be that everything that we do here is spiritual? Could it be that in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the story about Nicodemus, you know, he's like, how can I be born again? Well, it's not a physical birth, Nicodemus. You can't go back in your mom's womb. It's a spiritual thing, right? And then we worship in spirit, right? John chapter 4, verse 24. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We are stones in a spiritual house. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We are to be spiritually minded. These are all verbatim quotes, by the way. Romans 8, 5, and 6. We are led of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and live in the Spirit, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 18, and 25. So, I just spit out some verses there. We didn't actually go to them and read them. But every one of those verses talks about the spiritual aspect of Christianity. And what is the goal of someone that's spiritual? Heaven. That's right. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. That is our goal. That is our goal. We may get through this really quick if y'all don't start talking a little bit more. I am open to comments. If I don't know an answer, you'll have to forgive me and allow me to get back to you. But it is open for comments. And if I don't know the answer, all three elders are here. Maybe they may know the answer and we can talk about it. This is a classroom type setting. The Christian must possess a firm belief in prayer and be a practicer thereof. That's the next characteristic of our influence.
That's one that's more difficult for me, is to stop and take time to pray.
Stop.
You need to set aside time and keep with it. That time is dedicated to prayer. It's hard to do when you've got other things that need to be done, take that time and stay with it.
That's right. We get really busy, don't we? We get real busy. It's really easy for me to wake up at 5 in the morning and already be thinking about work. My alarm's set for 6. I don't want to wake up at 5, but for some reason I do that. My brain will start functioning at 5 o'clock as if I'm supposed to be at work. It completely passed up a time for prayer, didn't it? It completely passed up a time for reading my Bible. And work is important. It's how I provide for my family. But work is not more important than my eternal salvation. I need to retrain my mind to start panicking maybe about my eternal salvation rather than what I'm going to do at work that day. And am I caught up? And am I going to have a customer yelling at me? And blah, blah, blah. Yes, sir.
If you live long enough, you won't do that.
The back winds come up, huh? That's very true. I hope that I can say that to somebody that's right here later on in my life.
The other night we all were out at the barbecue in Tulsa, and when we sat down at the table, I noticed the little boy, maybe 5 years old, reaching across like this with his father. Well, he wanted his daddy to hold his hand for prayer.
That's great. That's wonderful. You know, it's very humbling when my son remembers to pray before the meal before I do. It happens, though. But that's good. I'm proud of my son for that. That's something I can be proud of. But at the same time, it's a little embarrassing. I'm the man of the house. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader, right? That's biblical. And here my son is showing me up. But that's okay. That happens every once in a while. That's right. Yeah, in the middle of the Big Spring services, if there was a prayer, he was yelling amen. I think it's because he wanted to leave, but I don't know that for sure. You know, little kiddos are ready to go play with the other little kiddos. So, but let's look at a few verses on this. James chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to let someone else read James chapter 5, verse 16.
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
So why are we praying according to this verse here? For each other, right? That we all may be healed. Is that right? We're reading that. Everyone there, confess your faults one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So here we have an example of praying for others. But at the same time, it is embracing that we're praying for ourselves also, because it says, pray one for another that ye, you all, you know, we would say y'all there, but so that y'all may be healed. So obviously the prayer is not only for our brothers and sisters, but also for ourselves at this point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Someone would like to read that.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Right before that it says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. This is a list of things that we should be doing if you were to start at the beginning of chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean that we can't talk to each other because we're praying the whole time? No. It just means to remember to be continually trying to speak to God. Letting your supplications be known to God. Don't take the world by yourself. Okay? It's not good for you. It's not good for the people around you that you're trying to influence. If all they see is the me, me, me attitude of look at what I can do, look at what I can conquer. God needs to be there and evident in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Thank you. Again, we see some rejoicing right before we talk about prayer. You know, a lot of us forget that we can pray when we're happy too, not just when we're seeing hard times, right? It's really easy to go to God when we're in trouble. What about when we're happy? Isn't that interesting that rejoice was there in two verses right before it talks about praying? So why does the Christian need to be a prayerful individual, especially in the congregation? Showing faith in your example. Any other reasons?
Our relationship has to have communication.
Yeah. So to have a good relationship with God, we got to communicate back and forth, right? God through His Word, us through prayer. Okay? Keeps you humble.
God answers those prayers.
God answers our prayers. That's right. And Colossians 4:2, if we would have gotten there, would have depicted some of that idea. Yes? Did you have one?
Well, it's
the
point of your conversation, your citizenship is in heaven.
Right. Yeah.
My relationship is from heaven. If I'm there, it's in my thoughts.
Right.
That's the way I try to do it.
That's right. Let's get a little more focused back into the congregation. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, please pray for me, or please pray for my aunt, please pray for an individual in my family, and they came specifically to you? They did not go to the up here to the announcements and say, please pray for, you know, congregation, please pray for ABC. But instead, they went to you. They found you after services, or maybe even called you and said, I need you to pray. It's only happened to me one time. And it wasn't by a member of the congregation. It was by a man who's a customer of mine, whose sister had tried to hang herself. And everything ended up being just fine. Everything ended up being just fine. She made a full recovery. She's having to deal with the sins that she committed. This was a man who has no inkling of a thought of what the church is. But he knew that I was a prayerful man. I don't know how. I don't know how he knew. I don't know what gave off that, you know, that aura or whatever. But some reason he thought, I need to go to Chad Shirtle. And so he came in. He did not buy a thing when he came in. He just came in, came to my office, told me, and then he went on about his business. That was a long time ago. Maybe I'm not putting off that aura anymore because no one's come to me. So, if you have a memory like that, that's great. That's wonderful. But if you don't, that's okay too. Because a lot of people would rather go up in the announcements to try to get more, you know, more supplications for them, right? Just like the lady who kept going to the king, right? He finally caved. So, that's a neat thing, and I hope that we can all experience something to that effect, because that means that we're having a good influence in the congregation. I think it'd be even more praiseworthy to have someone within a congregation come to me and say something like that. Because here is a spiritually minded individual already, you know, trying to find some more help. So, if you're not one of those people, analyze yourself. This is a Bible class. We're supposed to analyze ourselves. And I need to analyze myself, because I think that man was just desperate, honestly, and he didn't know where else to go. It wouldn't have been to me if he'd known any better. But why aren't we those people that get a phone call, hey, I need you to pray. I just need you to pray right now. I'm sorry?
Maybe God sent him.
Oh, yeah.
That you need to do.
We're supposed to be hospitable, because at times we may be entertaining angels, right? Isn't that? Yes?
I think that not just praying for our, you know, other members, but if they come to us, but praying with them is another step we can take that is very meaningful. To have somebody, to hear somebody offer up those words of prayer on your behalf.
Oh, yeah. Yes. When my wife, Lindsay, had her knee surgery when we were in college, we were newlyweds. Man, that was a rough time to have a knee surgery. We had no money, no nothing. And she tore her ACL playing basketball. That's how she made her living. She was on a basketball scholarship at ASU. And we didn't know what was going to happen, you know. But we had an elder from this congregation come and pray in the hospital with us. And that meant more. Man, it put my heart at ease. My stomach went back down where it belonged. You know, it was a good thing. To your point, hearing the words of someone praying for you is an amazing feeling. So, let's move on. Yes, ma'am.
We also realize not only the influence between each other that prayer has, but also the influence between God. Because even though we know He knows our hearts, He knows our minds, He knows everything that's going on, the fact that we go to Him in prayer shows that we depend on Him.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
That influences our relationship with God.
on that thought. Have you ever entered into a prayer to God and couldn't find the words to say? Just said, please interpret my thoughts because my mouth can't, you know? So God knows what's in our hearts. And sometimes that ends up happening, especially to me. My vocabulary is terrible. It's awful. I had someone reprimand me at work one time because my vocabulary just is not very large. I use words like large rather than some fancy word, I guess. I don't know. Say y'all. Christian must be... This is number four. We're moving on. Appreciate the comments, but I do want to try to make it through this lesson because that's what I was asked to do. The Christian must be faithful in attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let's go ahead and move over there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and read through 25. If someone's there, go ahead.
Let us consider one another to provoke us to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some do, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you say the day approaches.
Okay, so keep that in the back of your minds and answer this question. Why is it important in regard to being a good influence in the local congregation to be here in this building during worship times? Exhort one another. It is what we're told to do.
Feed off one another.
Feed off one another, yeah. Yes.
Accountability.
Accountability. Yeah, keep us on the straight and narrow.
It's the warmth of fellowship.
Yes, just having someone positive around you, you know. My dad used to spit out commands at me. Go do this, go do that. Don't do this, don't do that. And as a kid, you just listened to him because you didn't like the punishment that came afterwards if you didn't. But as I got older, I would do those things anyways without him asking me because I saw that it was for good. It's the right thing to do. You know? Don't slam your brother's finger in the door. You know? Well, guess what? I didn't slam my brother's finger in the door anymore because I saw it hurt him. You know? It's just, those are the types of things. Yes, we're commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. But that's not why. That's not the only reason why we should be here in attendance at worship service and Bible class and any other thing that our leadership has asked us to do, which, by the way, we're to follow our leadership as long as they, our elders, as long as they're not outside of the book. Yes, sir.
We're talking about influence.
Mm-hmm.
This principle applies to everything you do in life. Whether you play team sports, or you're an employee, your attitude, your influence is so important. But here we speak of priorities. This is the challenge. We punish the kid on the team who's always late, the kid who doesn't show up to practice, the kid. And the reality is whether he's the most talented or not doesn't matter. If he's not there encouraging the team, he's not of any value. It's a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we're talking about priority. The church is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to instill this principle to everyone here. You got to show up. Be accountable. Mm-hmm. See where you stand. And that's what we need. I'm trying to get the world to understand why the church comes first in your family and not baseball as a challenge. But, you know, you're trying to constantly show the same principle in everything you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is a priority. It's the number one priority. We will go back, right, to the very first point. Must be totally committed to Christ, right? That was the very first point. Yes, ma'am.
God says if you love me, keep my commandments, so shows our love for God.
That's right.
And God also says, draw near to God
and draw near to me. That's right. How do you think I show my love to my brother by not slamming his finger in the car door, right? And I show my love to my dad by obeying that he said, don't slam your brother's finger in the car door. The people who have children in here, which is almost all of us, if not all of us, when our child disobeys us and gets themselves in a predicament, how does it make us feel?
Like we failed.
Like we failed. It hurts bad, doesn't it?
Yes.
It hurts bone deep bad. One, because you see your kiddo suffering. And one, because you tried to keep them out of that. Right? I told Kipton, smashed his thumb. Big old black fingernail, now it's coming off. Well, we're having to wrap it because it's still hanging on by a few fibers and it hurts bad when it hits anything. Well, we were outside yesterday working and his mom said, hey, before we soak your thumb in Epsom salt today, we need to take that bandage off. And so he starts messing with the bandage. I said, son, don't do that because you're going to snag it on something else because we're not ready to soak your thumb yet. Well, in about 3 minutes, he had that bandage off after I told him not to. You want to know what he was doing? He hurt himself again. You know, and I said, I looked at him eye to eye and I said, I am not trying to hurt you. Why won't you listen to me? And I think that's God sometimes. We are His children. He looks at us and He says, I am not trying to hurt you. Why won't you listen to me? You can see it with the Israelite nation in the Old Testament. You can see it with us today in the church at times. So,
how bad things of maturity.
Yes.
Back to what Brian was saying too about the sports. In that sense, if a good coach is going to teach their player discipline, the whole point is to teach them discipline. And sometimes discipline isn't always pleasant. You know, if you have to run that extra mile or if you have to do those extra sit-ups or whatever it is. And so they see that, they associate that pain and they don't understand. Sometimes, even when we come to church to provoke one another to love and good works, it means that I may have to be challenged. Somebody is challenging me to do something that I don't want to do or that I'm not good at or that. And so there we associate that discomfort with something we don't want and therefore we just, you know, exit ourselves. But if we look at like what you're saying, God is not trying to hurt us. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to grow us and He's trying to get us to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
If we saw that, then we would treat it as we would loving His commandment and enduring whatever it is. If another person is trying to provoke me to good, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it hurts, even if I don't like it, I know that it's for my good and for the good of others.
Oh, yeah.
That is an influence that we need to have. So easy to change it to nothing.
It's so easy to do nothing. That's
right.
Challenges are wonderful. That's right. So, on that, maybe we need to be a little selfish for ourselves. Yes.
I played sports in high school, and my sister played sports, and my brother played sports. And one of the things that my parents always did, no matter what, you know, unless, of course, it was like Bible class or something, they always went to our games. It doesn't matter if it was, you know, 3 hours away, it doesn't matter if it was, it doesn't matter if it was every band concert, every play, everything we were in. And I understand, you know, sometimes there's things that people are coming and people have to learn, but whenever they're good, my parents are always there. And that's one of the things that stuck with me is despite all the other sorts of, you know, of course none of us are perfect people, but they always try to be there. And just being there made a statement. You know, it doesn't matter if it was a 2 hour away, it was a busy night, dad or mom, they can work all day and and so I think with God, it's a similar thing. You know, no matter how tired we are or you know, what we're doing, just to make an effort to give our time is, I think it shows a similar principle.
Yeah, and to God, but also to the people here. It makes me feel good when someone's willing to be here and hang out with me. I'm not that much fun to hang out with, I know, but y'all are willing to do it anyways. Because we're in all one mind worshiping God. Yes, sir.
We've all been in challenging situations, I'm sure. You know, everybody wants to be a part of the best team, the best college that has the best reputation. Well, this congregation has so many tools. You have preachers, you have teachers, you have people here that are rich. I can't understand why people wouldn't want to be here. You have Bible teachers, you have people with experience, people who love them.
Yep.
And I want to be here. It's like Tina said this morning, we're getting ready. She said, night for night, but we want them.
It is.
I've been in places where I was like dragging myself because I knew it was a fight.
Yeah.
But my point is that even there, you still had to be there because it was a measure of priority.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That goes back to the commandment part.
We got a decent teaching class right now. We got people here that love you. That love you because of the right things.
Right.
I'll tell you what's a good place for you.
So, as we're examining ourselves and we're trying to be better influencers in the congregation, are we being a good influence when perhaps we go fishing Sunday morning knowing that we can show up Sunday evening and worship God, partake the Lord's Supper? Is that a good thing? Bass bite better in the mornings than they do in the afternoons. Okay. But that's what we do. You reverse that. That's what we do, isn't it, at times? We make sure we're here for Sunday morning, and then we find our other reason why not to be here Sunday evening. Whether it's watching TV or going fishing.
Do they bite better only on Sunday mornings?
Probably. It's God's day.
I would know.
I want to make it feel like I'm sacrificing. No, I'm kidding. You know, in attendance here, this is when you're choosing to do a recreational activity, not when you're trying to provide for your family at work, and the only way you can find work to be able to provide for your family is occasionally missing that one service in the week. I'm not talking about those things here. I'm talking about when we make a conscious decision to do something that is not imperative to our survival. You know? The recreational things, the laziness, the whatever you want to call it, those are the types of things we cannot allow to get between us and God. Any more comments on that? Yes, ma'am.
Also, if you say that there's a lot of times that people, when they're traveling, they choose not to find a congregation to go to church.
That's right. Just growing up in a congregation of four people in Johnson, we had four people. When we had visitors, it was the greatest thing. We doubled our numbers. Okay. So, you don't know what kind of an influence you can have on a congregation by visiting. By being there during your travels. And I want you all to know that from the bottom of my heart. That meant a whole lot to me when I was growing up. To see someone else besides the four people in all of Johnson City that wanted to worship God properly. Now I think it's a congregation of 10. So a family of four can grow up by 40% if you can be there, if you're traveling through. Stop in Johnson City. Dripping Springs has enough people. Go to Johnson City. Okay? So, moving on. The Christian must seek the kingdom of heaven first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. For time's sake, I'll let you write that down and you can look it up. Christ and His church must come before business, family, friends, recreation, and even ourselves, as we've been talking about. Number 6, the Christian must be cooperative and willing to bear his individual responsibilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Let's just turn over there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. And it reads, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are here to work. Okay? It's the way it is. We're here to work. We're not to have idle hands. We're not just supposed to sit around and do nothing. We're to work. Now, there are different responsibilities. You know, we read about how the church is like the body, right? And it has arms and legs and eyes and ears, and it's, you can't interswap those things. The eye can't do the job of the ear. It's not supposed to. It's not meant to. There are some duties that are less pleasurable here less recognized maybe, more recognized, more pleasurable. But you know what? They all have to be done to keep the congregation working and not working like laborious working, but to keep it going. There are things that have to be done. Light bulbs have to be changed. It's nice that we have a working vacuum cleaner and someone that does it for us. Okay? Those are all important things. Do they get recognized all the time? No, they don't. They should, but they don't. So if you're one of those individuals, thank you. Okay? And I know that everyone else thanks you too for helping keep this building going so we have a place to worship. We also read that we must be ready to work. Number 7, not only do we accept our responsibilities, but at the same time, we need to be ready to work at those responsibilities. Matthew chapter 20, we read of the parable of the vineyard workers, where a man went out and found laborers and then said, all right, go work. Then he went out again and found more laborers. If those people weren't ready to work, could they have labored? No. They couldn't have done anything. They said, well, hold on, let me go get my tools. They're back at my house. Can I be there tomorrow instead? You know, let's be ready to work in the congregation. When someone says, do you mind leading a prayer this morning in worship service? Man, we need to be, when we come into this building, we need to try to prepare our minds so that we can do such a thing like that. Now, I realize that there's times where you need to say no. Not today. You got a struggle in your life that it would not be good if you took a role of leadership at the church building. I understand that. But we need to try not be in those situations so we can be ready to labor. The Christian must not be hypercritical. We all know that person. We probably have those people. A lot of times, they're just negative. They don't want to do the work themselves, but man, they're going to let you know how you did it wrong after you did it, right? We don't need to be those types of people. That's in Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5, by the way. And this one is probably one of my favorites here. The Christian must be full of faith, optimistic, and a visionary. It's hard sometimes to be here at the church building when there are other things going on in life. But when you're here, please try to smile. Please try to smile. And if you've seen some years in your life, bless you, that's great. But you want to know what happens? Your skin starts to sink right here. And it looks like you're frowning. And I need to see smiles. I do. Maybe that's just a selfish thing. But to be an optimist, to be pleasant to be around, that's how you influence a congregation to be stronger and to reach out to others and to keep visitors maybe coming in so we can add new people to the church. I guess we're out of time. But we got through them all. Appreciate your time here. I hope that it was beneficial to you as it was to me. Thank you.